I stumble through this world of tribulation. And bear the heavy weight of life's demands, when I can trust the one who offers me salvation. And lay my burdens in these hands. This is like a journey with every step I take, but I have learned with every move I make. Walking with Jesus across the great divide, trusting in His goodness when the valley is wide, believing His promise to faithfully provide. I'm walking with Jesus to the other side. I made Him easy to my final destination. A place He's been preparing just for me. His love will carry me beyond my expectations, to wonders I have yet to see. When this life is over, I know He'll call my name, and heaven's gonna hear my heart proclaim. I'm walking with Jesus across the great divide, resting in His goodness when the valley is wide, believing His promise to faithfully provide. I'm walking with Jesus to the other side, the other side. I'm walking with Jesus across the great divide, resting in His goodness when the valley is wide, believing His promise to faithfully provide. I'm walking with Jesus to the other side. Walking with Jesus to the other side.
Thank you very much, quartet, and just John, is wonderful to hear a quartet like that praising the name of the Lord. We welcome you who are here in the auditorium at Bethel Baptist Church, and if you are here for the first time, we have just a little information paper here on the side of the bulletin that you can cut on and fill the details and then put it on in the offering plate so that I know you have been with us. For those who are here and at this present moment on A80 and KKMC, we'd like you to write to us. We are thankful for each one of you who write and participate in our ministry. And for those who later on are listening in New York and listening in other areas of the country, we thank you that you are listening to the broadcast, live broadcast of Bethel Baptist Church here in Morgan Hill. Our scripture to open the day is this, in Psalm 146, verse 1 and 2. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I will live, I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Let us pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we come into Thy presence in the name of Jesus, our Lord. And we are thankful that we have the opportunity to tell the entire world again that there is hope, there is power and might in the hands of our God. That we have a merciful Savior. That we have a Savior who brings comfort, who brings restoration to our life and soul. And so, Father, we pray that You will allow us with faithfulness to proclaim Him, Jesus, our Lord. Father, we pray for the choir that as they praise You, that they may combine the fullness of the expression of our heart, that we love You because of what You have done for us. Later on, when the Bible is read, Father, we pray that our minds and heart be open to listen to Your voice. And then when I take part on the exposition, Father, I pray that You anoint my lips, my heart, my mind, that I may show only Jesus and Jesus alone.
We thank you for the ministry you allow us to have here in the church, our Sunday school hour, morning service, afternoon service, Bible classes, evening service, ladies meetings, pastors meetings, Lord, full of activities in our church because we are in love with Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for that. Also, Father, we have missionaries, some of them in Nicaragua, Boanerges Mendoza and his wife, Raima Flores. Some of them, Father, in Europe, in Ukraine, Fred and Carol, Lewis, Carol and Ruth Knott in Huasca, Spain, Eusebio and Marisa Perez in Malaga, and then the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center. Father, we pray for these institutions and people that you have placed in our hand to support them. And Father, we pray ahead for missionary Boanerges Mendoza as he is planning to come on the 5th of October to celebrate our 15 years of ministry. We pray ahead that he will be a blessing to us and that in turn we will be a blessing to him. Father, we remember our nation, our great nation called America. And we confess to you that our nation, politically and socially, and in every detail of our nation, in every area of our nation, people are more and more away from Jesus and from the Bible and from the Ten Commandments. And that's why we see chaos and we see things that we cannot repair until we come back to you and ask for mercy. Oh, Father, have mercy on us and bless the pastors across the country that they may preach Jesus without fear. And now, Lord, as we continue in the service, speak to us. And that small voice you always have, oh, God, touch our hearts so that when we leave the place, we can say that we have been with Jesus. In his name we pray and thank you. Amen. You please books at number 143, and will you stand as we open the first song here in our church, number 143 in the hymn book, please.
Jesus really means to me. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams. He's everything that my soul ever longed for. So much King of glory would come to live within the heart of man.
I marvel just to know he really loves me.
When I think of who he is and who I am, for he is more wonderful. My mind can conceive, he's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams. He's everything that my soul.
Thank you, choir. We ask you now that you would take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you will find today's reading in that Bible on page 767. We ask that you would please stand for the reading of God's Word. Luke, chapter 15. Verses 11 through 32. And he said, A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And many days, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he became to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have he filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am not worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto the servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. And his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard the music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother has come, and thy father have killed the fatted calf, because he have received him safe and sound. He was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son has come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meant that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. Blessed is the word of God. Almighty God, blessed is thy holy name. Glory unto thee, Almighty God. We praise thee and worship thee, Almighty God, because we were dead, we were lost, and you found us in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We ask this day, Almighty God, that you may use thy servant, our pastor, Gabriel Otero, as he proclaims the gospel, that you may call more of thy children into thy kingdom, who are dead and who are lost, so that they may be found too in Christ, O Lord, and that we all may be making merry and rejoicing in thy name. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Terry, for the beautiful song, for the praises of the name of Jesus. Just a brief, very brief announcement for this week. I want to make emphasis in the events of the week. Tomorrow night, the ladies' Bible study. On Wednesday, the midweek Bible study, we start now a new session in theology on ecclesiology and the prayer meeting together. And this coming Saturday, men, we have the pastor prayers companion. So I expect that you'll be here at church at 8 o'clock in the morning praying with the pastor. We have instituted again once a month the time in which we come and pray together, 8 to 9. And those who like to have breakfast after that, that will be up to them. But at least let us come and pray together for the church and for the pastor. And of course, never forget in your mind October the 5th, which Pastor Mendoza is going to come, our church anniversary, 15 years of ministry, and actually 13 in this location, or 12 and 3 in Gilroy, where our church start in the Coast Federal Bank. That's where our church started a long time ago. But the Lord has been gracious to us and a great blessing to us.
And I hope that we have been a blessing to you. Let's look to the Lord in prayer and then look to our scripture today. Our Heavenly Father, we come in the name of Jesus again, asking the Holy Spirit, who is the author, the interpreter, and the teacher of the scripture, to teach us thy word, to bring us conviction, to restore our life, to bring comfort into our life, perhaps to give us a new direction, perhaps to enlighten our mind and heart for our need. And so, Father, trusting in what thy word will do, we thank you ahead. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory in the name of Jesus, our Lord. My scripture for this morning is found in the Gospel of Luke chapter 15. And the reading that our brother gave us from verses 11 to the end of the chapter. And we have for our subject this morning, the prodigal son. Perhaps there is not any portion of a scripture that the people of God is so familiar as the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. In the second verse of this chapter, we are told why Christ described these beautiful three pictures. In verse 2, we read, and the Pharisees and scribes, the doctors of the law, murmur, and they murmur against Christ, saying, this man points to Christ, this man receive sinners and eat with them. Now, for the first time, and I think the only time in the Bible, the Pharisees were right. Because that was the purpose why Christ came. And I want to aware you, if you do not have a King James version of the Bible, the next verse I want to make a quotation of is not in your Bible. And that's in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, and verse 11. Here, Matthew 18 and verse 11 explain to us why Jesus came. We read in the King James Version only. Any other translation do not have these texts wrongfully. We read these words, for the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. Even the New King James Version do not have these texts. And the reason for them to take the text away is because three pastors of the ancient church, Hilarius, Chrysostom, and Augustine, do not find that text in few manuscripts. But in the majority of all the Greek manuscripts is there. And so therefore, some people, after the King James Version was written, in the year 1800, when the Revised Standard Version came in, took the liberty to take a key verse of the scripture out of the scripture. Can you imagine a verse like this out of the scripture? But the Pharisee says, this man is always with sinners. And the scripture says, thus is why he came. And while the Pharisees and scribes were complaining, he went on to give us three parables. Number one, the lost sheep, the lost piece of money, and the prodigal son. I'd like to recall with you this morning the parable of the prodigal son. And I'd like to bring the spiritual lesson that this parable offered to all of us. There are about four things I'd like to say about the parable of the prodigal son. Number one, the prodigal son traveled. Number one, the prodigal son traveled. Here is the trouble. He started wrong in life. Look at verse 12. And the younger of them, this man has two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, what belongs to me. And he divided unto them his goods, his living. He started wrong in life because he had a false idea of life. Some people have a false idea of life. Some people think that they came to life and they're going to go through life without working and have everything they need without working for. Look with me, please, in 2 Thessalonians, in chapter 3, in verse 10, what the counsel of the Word of God is for those that do not work. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3, in verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we command you, that if any would not work, neither should he or she eat. That's clear. But some people started wrong in life, and it started with a wrong idea. I do not need to work for my life. I'm going to live out of anybody else, the welfare department, their family, or anything else. And that's what this man did. He started wrong in life. That was his trouble. And also his trouble was that he did not have a wise father. Look in verse 12 again. The Bible said at the end of the chapter that the father divided unto him his living. He did not have a wise father. He should have a father to say, all right, you want to go? Go ahead. Go and your own. Go and work for a living without giving him any penny. He had no obligation, according to the book of Leviticus, to divide his good until he died. His share was not his, was his brother, because the other brother was the elder brother. And so therefore his father was not too wise and encouraged this man by giving him the money rather than giving him instruction to work. And that was the prodigal son trouble. And I want to tell you this, spiritually, that's our trouble. We all started wrong in life. Let me show it to you. Romans chapter 5 in verse 12. Look at what the scripture says. Romans chapter 5 in verse 12. The Bible revealed to us that we started wrong in life. In Romans 5:12, we read, wherefore, as by one man sin enter into the world, and death by sin, and so death passeth upon all men, for all have sinned. There is none in this universe, no one in this universe that was born without sin. There is none in this universe that came out as a baby without being a sinner. And so we all started with trouble in our life. And the trouble was not our mother, our son, the environment, the nation, the society in which we live. The trouble is our own heart. Our own heart is a heart full of sin. And therefore, the tendencies of our life are more likely sinful than anything else until God touches our heart. So here's the first lesson the prodigal son gave to us. There is no one who is good unless God touches his heart. Secondly, I want to look with you the prodigal son lost, what he lost in life. In verse 13, the Bible tells me that he lost his home. And no many days after that, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riots of living. He got a lot of friends, and he got wild in his living. But he had no home. He just had friends. And he really enjoyed life. In other words, like some people tell me, when I get 18, I'm going to be free. And unfortunately, in this country, when you are 18 years old, you got the freedom and the right to be yourself. You know, in another country, it's at 21. In another country, never you got that freedom, as long as your parents live with you. And so here's what this man said in his heart. As soon as I can take it off, I take it off and I do what I want with my life. There is no limitations. If I want to go party, I go party. If I want to go and enjoy my life the whole day drinking and doing what I want, I like to do what I want, said people to me. 18, 19 years old. They come to counsel in the radio ministry, and they said, you know, Pastor, I'm just looking forward to the 18 and go on and do what I want with my life. And I asked them, what do you want for your life? They don't know. So they are confused. They're in trouble. You want to study? But I don't know. So what do you mean? You want to do what you want? Well, you know what I mean? What? What is it? Spell it. And they put it on the table. They said, well, I want to come home at any time I want to. Really? You cannot do that in your home? I said, no. My father said, at this hour, you think it's wrong? I said, well, that put limitations in my life. You think it's wrong? They never answered that. See, they said, I want to go to places that I don't have to give a reason where I went to that place to anybody. Really? I said, what about God? I forgot about God. You see, this young fella, verse 13 tells me that he went wild in his life and lost his home. But also, he lost his supply. Look at them, verse 14 and 15 and 16. And when he had spent it all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. He lost his supply. His father's table did not go that far. You know that? The father's table went only to the family and his home. The father's table, at least I see the wisdom in this, his father's table did not reach to supply to this man when he was wild doing whatever he wanted to. The father did not supply for that. He just waited whatever portion of the money was his. He lost his home. And I thought in each one of us, in Adam, we lost our home. Look at the first book of the Bible. In Genesis chapter 3, look at what the Bible says about ourselves. It is a drama, but it's true. In Genesis chapter 3, in verse 22, the Bible said, after Adam had sinned and violated God's word, and disobey willingly the word of the Lord, then the Bible says that God punished Adam by sending him out. And verse 22 said, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil, and now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from where he was taken. So, look at verse 24. He drove out the man, and that means mankind, man and wife. And he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life. And so man lost his spiritual home. You see that? Man lost his spiritual home. And so when man is born, he's born in sin. What that mean? He lost his spiritual son, his spiritual home. Man was born in sin. Would that mean he's dead spiritually? As Ephesians 2:1 said, for we were dead, said the Bible. Spiritually dead. He's physically alive, mentally alert, but spiritually dead. He had no response to God. Why? Because God kicked him out of his home. He wants to do what he wants to? Go ahead, do it. Disobey God, but you are no longer part of God. And that's exactly what the prodigal son story is telling us. When the man went out in the fields and wasted his money, he lost his home. And he lost his supply. And he did not have anything for himself, even though he was wishing that something came into his mouth. And so I want to tell you this needs to be acknowledged by all of us. No one, until you know that you are lost, no one is seeking for any good direction. You need to know first that you are lost, that you lost your home, that you lost your supply of a spiritual food into your life, because your sin, said the Bible in Isaiah 59 verse 2, has separated you from God. Your sin. What sin? Are you smoke? I do this. No, the sin you are born with. And that's the trouble. Nobody wants to hear that. Everybody wants to hear that we are good and we are doing good. And by doing good, you do not contribute to your restoration. The same God has separated you and the same God is watching for you to come back. Now I want you to notice number three, the prodigal son turning point. There was a turning point in the life of the prodigal son. There was something that made this man to turn around, to make, like you say in America, a U-turn in his life. And that is in Luke Gospel chapter 15 and verse 17. Here is the turning point of his life. And look carefully what really happened here. There are three things that really happened. Number one, he experienced a supernatural wake up. A supernatural wake up. Verse 17. And when he came to himself, the Bible doesn't say how that he came to himself. The Bible only relates to us that he came to himself. That's a supernatural wake up. When he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. When he came to himself, he received a supernatural reaction. Is this only common to the prodigal son? No. If you turn your Bible to Galatians chapter 1, in verse 15 and 16, the Apostle Paul tells us there was a time in his life when he also experienced a supernatural reaction, a supernatural wake up. Galatians chapter 1, verse 16, verse 15 and 16. The Apostle Paul, relating to his experience in Christ, he says, but when it pleases God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. There was a day that God called the Apostle Paul and shake up the life of this great, wonderful philosopher and turned his life into a remarkable preacher. There was a day of wake up. There was a day of call. There was a day in which the whole gospel of God made sense to his life. And I want to tell you this. You are not a Christian by attending church or by singing in the choir or preaching in the pulpit or teaching Sunday school. You are a Christian because you can tell me there was one day in your life when God supernaturally revealed to you through the scripture the Son of God. That's why you are a Christian. You are not a Christian because, as many people told me in the Bible conference that I was yesterday, in the Assyrian Bible conference in Santa Cruz, preaching the whole day, it's an exhausted day, six times. But they told me, I'm a Christian because, I don't know, I was born in a Christian home. Now that's very good, and that's outstanding that you are born in a Christian home. But have ever anybody told you that you need to have a personal relationship with Christ? That you need to have a day in which you stand before God Almighty and you say, I'm a sinner, be merciful unto me. Have you ever heard those words? He said, well, people don't like to hear those words, and they like to do good works for the Lord. But you cannot do good works until the good work of God is in your heart first. So the man experienced a supernatural wake up. God and mercy came and touched his life. God and mercy shake him up and say, you are going in the wrong direction. Stop it. Look the picture. Look your father's home. And call for help. Secondly, he experienced a personal response. Verse 18 in Luke Gospel chapter 15. We read in verse 18 that the man says, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, well, father, I have not enough money. No. Well, father, I have another plan. No. Well, father, I propose you a partnership between you and me, and we're going to do something. No, sir. No, sir. That will be no conviction. That will be to be crook and to do something wrong. If somebody came to me, my son who left came to me and said, well, I'm going to propose another deal. He's a crook, and I will kick him as far as I can and stay as far as I can from him until he gets conviction. And those kind of people never get conviction until you're strong and strong in their life. Otherwise, you are feeding their vicious sin in their life. And so the man said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Oh, that's conviction, don't you think? Anyone who stand before God and do that, then we can say that the man have repented. That's repentance. See, he brought no excuses into the table. He did not came and say, well, you know, I think I did a bad business here, but if you help me again, I can do it better. No. He just plainly, openly before God and before the man in which he has sinned. He's saying in his heart, I will go to my father and I will say, first, I have sinned against God. Now that is conviction. I have sinned against God, and then I have sinned against you who are my father. Now that is absolute conviction. That's the way that an individual, we can say, this is a prodigal son turning point in his life. And that's my third point, is that the prodigal son turning point in his life. What was the turning point? He received a convicting power from God, and then he expressed it. He said to the people, I'm wrong. No, he said, I'm a sinner. There are a lot of people who say, well, I'm willing to say I'm wrong. No. You have to say, I am a sinner. I'm a sinner, a terrible sinner. And I have sinned against God the Father and against you, Father. And therefore, I come to you for help. If you move your Bible to the last book of the Bible in Revelation chapter 3, in verse 19. Revelation 3 and verse 19, the Bible gives us an idea of the word that we can use for this man. Revelation 3:19. As many as I love, said the scripture, and God is speaking, I rebuke and chasten. Be jealous, therefore, and what the counsel is? And repent. And repent. God is not going to bless us until we stop and repent. And repent is your just turn direction. No excuses, no words to say, nothing to offer. I just turn around and I confess it like it is before God and before man. So the prodigal son turning point was that he experienced a supernatural wake up. He experienced a personal response. He responded properly, and therefore we see repentance. Now, the other half of the story is, would the father receive a crook like that? The prodigal son never lost his father's love. You know something? The prodigal son lost his house and lost his supply and lost everything. But there is one thing the prodigal son never lost, was his father's son. And that's his father's love. And that was the great message of the Bible. That God is a loving God. And when we turn to him with a whole heart, then God, who have done the initiative to bring us into his kingdom, keep on loving us. Look at with me in verse 20. The father loved him before he even respond. In verse 20, we read in the Gospel of Luke chapter 15 and verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him before even he say a word. This is our God, ladies and gentlemen. This is our God. Now, when we are upset with somebody and then we want to make peace, we put all the dirty clothing on the table and we look to each other like that. But God is not like that. He knows our dirty clothing. He knows our dirty things in our life. But when you go with him and you stand before him and you say, it's me, he says, hug you and kiss you. Is that love? I mean, I want a God like that. I want a God like that. Who will love me before I love him. It's a matter of fact, in 1 John, almost at the end of your Bible, in 1 John, in chapter 4, and in verse 19, almost at the end of your Bible, in chapter 4 of 1 John, not the gospel, but now the letter, 1 John chapter 4, and in verse 19, the Bible said, we love him because he first loved us. This is exactly what we see in the prodigal son. exactly the same case. The father was watching, and when he saw the son coming, he had compassion. Do you understand that word? Compassion and the misery of that man. Who knows how he was dressed? Remember, when he left the home of a rich fellow. And he left the home well dressed and well mannerism and so on. And now he see a man who was feeding the pigs. You can imagine the picture of that man, the ugliness of his picture. And the father never thought a second about that. He ran into the man and hugged the man and kissed him. What a challenge for you and me when we see a sinner that come to us. He's going to come to us smelling like a pig, but we need to open our arms and listen, and showing that person the love and compassion of God. I have in my office a very difficult case 2 weeks ago. A couple that planned to divorce from another city. The man doesn't know the Lord. She knows the Lord. And so when I asked the man, I said, you, how old are you, sir? He said, I'm 42. You're looking for a girl 28, 26? Yeah, how do you know? He said, you are looking for a sex life more active? Yeah, how do you know? He said, you want a more contemporary girl that goes with you every place on Sunday, and your wife goes to church on Sunday, and you need somebody like that? Yeah, he said, you really understand me. And you want a girl who take care of your money and wash your clothing and feed you when you come home? Yeah. I said, well, you don't go to get that one. But the 28 years old girl. I said, you know what you want? You don't want divorce. You're just like the prodigal son. You want to go riot at 42. I thought at 42 we can have some sense in life. But I said, you are worse than a 20 years old man. I said, sir, you leave my office, and I'm going to give you the address of my lawyer. You go to him and get your divorce and free these women from this evil man. You're an evil man. So you don't need this man. So go ahead, leave. Well, he called me a week. He said, sir, this is so-and-so. I said, oh, yeah. So what do you like? What do you want? He said, I don't want to the lawyer. I said, no. I said, do you think a 20 years old is not going to watch for your money and care for your clothing and feed you? I said, that's the only thing you worry? He said, yes. Well, what when you go to hell? And in hell, you're going to get out of hell. What are you going to do? He hung up. He called again. He said, can I see you? No, sir. You have to see God. No, me. Don't waste my time. You go to see God. When you see God, he said, where he lives? He asked me. I can't believe it. 43 years old American. Where he lives? He lives where? In the pages of this book, in the whole universe, in heaven. You go to God, and what do I say? He said, you say to God, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And then you come and we talk about marriage. He said, I'll let you know if I do that. That's very tough. Why? Because I have to say, a sinner. That's what people don't want to say. And I tell you, no man will say it unless God touched that man first. That's it. Unless God in his mercy comes and give you the kick. I thought sometimes that God is a good soccer player. When he wants, you go, phew, baby, you say it. He said, well, I'll come out of my mouth. This is the beautiful God that we have. See, verse 22 and 23 and Luke 15 tells me that God, when God loves us, he loves us forever. And when he calls us, not only he chooses us, he calls us, and he brings us into his kingdom, and he loves us. And look at what the father said, verse 22 and 23. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and his shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. You know what these pictures mean? They're great pictures here. The father's love is eternal. Number one, he said, get a rope, the best rope for him, and put it on this dirty man. You and I came to God with the dirty sins of our life, and he put on us the rope of righteousness of Christ Jesus. Isn't that a great picture? We no longer sinners before God. Yes, we have a past, and sometimes people say, you know what, my past, I don't want to hear it. Because the Bible said that God separates our sin as far as the west is from the east. I don't want to hear your past. I want to hear your hopes for the future. Because God has given you a robe of righteousness in your life. And what else? A ring. And what is a ring? A ring is a symbol of eternity. And God said, now you are forever my son. Regardless what you do, I am faithful. And I am going to keep that commitment of salvation with your life. Yes, you may go wrong. Yes, you may turn this way and the other. But you can never turn away from me because now you're mine. And then the Bible says that they kill a calf, a symbol of the price of that love. The price that Jesus is a picture of the Lamb of the Jewish people. Remember, the Jewish people, in order to be forgiven once a year, they have to bring the Lamb into the tabernacle and into the temple and sacrifice the Lamb, put their hand upon the Lamb, symbolizing, I am this Lamb, and this Lamb is my substitute. And when the prodigal son's father took the care of killing the Lamb for the feast, is telling all of us the reason why we come to God, and the reason why we have that fellowship with God, and that uniqueness relationship with God, is because his son came down in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died on Calvary cross, and then he rose again, and he's praying for us, and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Brother and sister, never forget that our joy, our relationship, our wonderful status before God, it is because God killed his son. So what's the message? What's the message on the prodigal son? I asked myself. I read it and read it and read it and jot down these ideas that I told you, these thoughts, as I analyze the passage. And what's the message? What's the message left for you and for me? What's the message that I get from this scripture? What the scripture is saying to you and to me? Because each time you read the Bible, not only you have to know what the scripture says, but you have to know what the scripture says to you. Because that will be the application. What this message says is this: never too late to come to God. Never too late. Never too late to come to God. Never too late. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come, those who are heavy laden, come, and I will give you rest. Never too late to come to God. Maybe you battle for 18 years in your life and you think, my life is a battlefield. I know the life of people that 24, 25, 26 looks like they live four lives or five lives in their struggle of their life. But I tell you this, never too late, never too late to come to God. The only thing you have to do is standing before God and saying to God with clarity and with sincerity of your heart, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Somebody told me 5-6 years ago, open in my face. He said, Pastor, I'm going to pray, but I will not say a sinner. Will that be okay? Now, this person today is a lesbian, heavy involved in sin, and who knows with how many other things in their life. Destroy her marriage life, destroy her husband life. But she was so rebellious that she told me, I will never say a sinner. I'm a good person. Remember what we learned? We were born in trouble. We were born in sin. No one of us is a good person until God comes into your life. May I say to you, if you come to God with a full heart, and you say to God, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. The Bible says that that man who say that went home justified. May God give you the strength. May God give you the wake-up call that he did to the prodigal son. Whether you are listening to me over the airways in 880, whether you are listening to me in New York or in Detroit or wherever this tape is played, I want to tell you, there is no better joy to my life if you write back to me and say, Pastor, I just stood before God and I say, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. May God give you the wake-up call, and may God give you the strength and give you the faith to believe it. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that the prodigal son's message is a message that there is an opportunity with God. There is an opportunity all the time in the presence of a living God. And so, Father, I pray for those who have not yet a personal relationship with you, that they will acknowledge that the only thing left in our life for us to do is to stand before you naked in our conscience and in our heart and say to you, Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. And you will respond and restore that man or that woman. Oh, Father, I pray that such a thing may happen even now with some people in the pew, some people listening to these broadcasts. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the love that you bestow upon us, that when we were yet sinners of the Bible, Christ died for us. Oh, thank you, Lord, that you love us, that you choose us, that you redeem us. And now, Father, we are careful to give you the honor and the glory in everything we do and say. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I would like you to stand, please, and open the hymn book as we close with number 262, Trusting Jesus. Just number 262, Trusting Jesus. Every day, trusting through the stormy way. First stanza, please, as we close. Father, we are careful to give you the honor and the glory. We pray as we look forward to another week in our life, that for those who have Christ in their life, we may show to people your love, your compassion, your tenderness, that we may guide people to the person of Christ Jesus our Lord, that we may show them that there is a better way of life, a life of uniqueness with you. Thank you, Father, for what you have done to us. Help us not to be proud of it. Help us not to be above anybody, but to be servants of thee in every way of life and every word that we say. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory. In the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.